you'll remember in our lesson this morning, our topic was, you cannot serve the Lord. And we chose as a text Joshua chapter 24, verses 19 through 21, where Joshua was basically giving his closing statement, words of encouragement to the children of Israel that they would remain faithful after his death, after his departure. And we talked about the fact that we were going to really focus in on two thoughts. A thought that comes from Joshua chapter 23 and verse 11, where Joshua reminded those people that they needed to take heed unto themselves. And we talked about defining the term take heed and how that it was to pay close attention to the things that they did, the way they made their sacrifices, the things that they heard taught through inspiration of God, and to closely pay attention to worshiping and studying and being obedient to Jehovah God and not allow themselves to be tempted to follow after the gods of the people round about. Then we said tonight we were going to come back and we were going to focus on the same thing. You cannot serve the Lord. Now remember, if you will, Joshua made the point that you cannot serve the Lord if you're going to allow these heathen gods to be an influence on your life, because he was a jealous God and a merciful God, but he would not allow that type of behavior from his people. And we said we were going to look at these two terms, take heed, and the word we were coming back to tonight was the word cleave. And the term cleave also is found in the 23rd chapter of the book of Joshua and down about verse 8, where Joshua reminded these people that they should cleave unto the Lord and of course take heed to themselves and take heed unto the things that Jehovah God would reveal to them through inspiration, lest they allowed the heathen gods to tempt them, lure them away from their confines of shelter. Now, we define the term take heed as the influence of one being able to concentrate and thinking about closely paying attention to the things we see and the things that we read from the inspired Word of God. The word cleave is too an unusual word. It kind of takes us back to something in the form of a glue. I remember as we were trying to lay the floor in our house, we glued down some 4x8 plywood, had to go back a month or two later and remove a couple of those sheets because they were bulking up, and we had glued it with this nail glue that comes in a tube. And we literally had to tear the boards up to get it up. That's how it attacks those two surfaces together. And that's the concept that Jehovah God is talking about when Joshua spoke in chapter 23 and verse 8 and says, you brethren need to cleave unto God. Now, if they glued themselves unto God, they would not be affected by these false gods. If they were to take heed and pay close attention to what the Bible taught through inspiration, and if they listened to what the law of Moses taught them, they would not be influenced to be led astray and have to be lifted up and cast out of the land of Canaan. Now, the first time that we see the word cleave found is back in Genesis, the second chapter, down about verse 24. And it's actually talking about the marriage relationship, where it talks about leaving your father and mother and cleaving unto your wife, cleaving unto your man. You know, that's probably a lesson that we need to pay close attention to, because it seems to be the case that people in our day and time are not aware of the fact that marriage is not for children. It's for an adult. It's for grown-up people. But yet, many times, we not only have children marrying, By that I mean they're not physically mature. They may be old enough to be physically mature, but they're not mature enough to really be faithful to their marriage vows. They're not mature enough to understand the responsibility that falls upon their shoulders as husbands and wives and mothers and dads. And many times they actually act like and behave as if they are children. And then on the other side of that extreme, sometimes we have parents and grandparents that fail to recognize that when these children leave home, they are to cleave and glue themselves to their mate. And mom and dad and grandma and granddad, you know, you really kind of need to back up away from that environment and let those people have the freedom to make that marriage what it's supposed to be in the eyes of God. Now, we do everything in our power before they leave the nest to prepare them to be able to make those decisions. But the first time that we see the term cleave used is way back in Genesis chapter 2, talking about the marital relationship and how that we were to leave our father and mother and we to cleave to our mates and recognize that responsibility. Now, we also find it in the book of Deuteronomy. We talked and compared Moses' statement to Joshua's statement. Moses' farewell address to Joshua's farewell address. Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 4, Moses spoke to the people before they crossed the Jordan. And he reminded those people that they were to hearken unto the statutes and the judgments, he said, that I teach. And he said, if you'll do that, if you will be conscious of that, take heed to those statutes and those commandments, you will be alive. You will be able to live. You'll be able to go into the land of Canaan and set up housekeeping, and you'll not be like your parents. You'll not be like your grandparents whose tombs are out there in the wilderness. Why? Because you made the choice to take heed to the statutes and judgments of the Lord, and you made the decision to cleave unto God, and because that, it brought you a sense of livelihood. It gave you a life that you could live, a life that you live by faith, with a greater hope and a greater expectation of the problem of sin becoming a reality down the road when the Son of God will be born into the world, born of a virgin, die on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, he says, if you will keep his commandments and cleave unto him, glue yourself unto him, you're not going to have to worry about those people, those Canaanites and those Hittites, because your God has promised to drive them out. He's promised to be faithful in his word, to allow you to come in and set up housekeeping and take your land that was promised through the promise he made to Abraham, if you will cleave and glue yourself unto him. Now, as Paul Harvey used to say, you know the rest of that story. Because as we go through our study of the Old Testament, what we're going to see after the judges, or toward the end of the judges, these same people, or the descendants of these people, are going to seek out and secure a king like the countries round about. They're not going to be satisfied with Jehovah God being their king. They're not going to be satisfied with the system of judges that the Lord God set up to govern over them. They're going to want a king like the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Moabites. And of course, God is going to grant that wish. And he's going to tell Samuel, he says, now Samuel, it's not your fault. You've been a faithful, godly prophet. Don't blame yourself and I'm going to allow them to have it, and I want you to tell them that it's going to cost them their time, their money in taxes, and support of the office of a king. Well, Saul is going to be the first king, David the second, his son Solomon the last one, and then it's going to divide, and we're going into what's known as the divided kingdom. Well, down the road, there's a family by the name of Ahab and Jezebel. We talked about them a few weeks ago. Very wicked people. Ahab was the king. He had a son in 2 Kings chapter 3. The Bible says that his name was Jehoram. And Jehoram, the son of Ahab, the Bible says, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and that he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam. Every time you see a king make a mistake, they trace it all the way back to that first unfaithful king, Jeroboam. That king sinned like Jeroboam. He sinned like Jeroboam. He sinned like Jeroboam. He wasn't cleaving unto God. He was cleaving unto Jeroboam. So Jehoram, instead of cleaving unto God and being a faithful servant of God, he was following in the footsteps of his daddy, who followed in the footsteps of the sins of Jeroboam. Now in the New Testament, we begin to read about the same terminology. For example, in Acts chapter 11, the Bible talks about the church at Antioch, and evidently they were a good, sound, faithful congregation of God's people. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, that they would cleave unto the Lord. Then in Romans, the 12th chapter, we're reminded, down about verse 9, that we are to abhor that which is evil, and that you and I, as New Testament Christians, are to cleave to that which is good. And he goes on and he talks about being kind one to another, affectionate one to another. So you see, he's comparing and contrasting what the child of God should be, how he should live, as opposed to what could happen if you fail to take heed to the Word of God and you fail to cleave unto the Lord, unlike the church at Antioch. And you need to really try the best that we possibly can to cleave to the good and hate the evil. Stay away from the evil. Now, Paul made a statement back in Romans, the 12th chapter, that same chapter, back up in verse 1. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God? It's abhorring evil, shunning evil, staying away from evil, and cleaving to that which is good. You glue yourself to the sinless Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary and made it possible for you and I to be brought into the kingdom of His, to be servants in His kingdom, to be forgiven of our sins and our trespasses, to be able to faithfully serve Him all the days that we live, so that one time out there in the future, we can hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in unto thy rewards. Isn't that a wonderful thought to think about? But yet it seems to be the case that we're living in a society where people who profess to be New Testament Christians, wear denominational names, and worship any way they want to worship, and they really are not considering cleaving unto the Lord, taking heed to the Word of God. They're more concerned about worshiping the way they want to worship. They're not concerned about what the Bible teaches. They're more concerned about pleasing themselves. Bringing in things in the worship service that's not authorized by God. Remember, we talked about this morning the Old Testament message from Deuteronomy. Moses told those brethren back there, you need to take heed that you make your sacrifices in the right place at the right time. We don't have the authority to bring in a choir. We don't have the authority to bring in instruments of music. It's nowhere mentioned in the New Testament. It was brought in because people like it, they enjoy it, and they're not concerned about what the Bible teaches. They're concerned about their own wishes and their own desires. So you can't serve the Lord like that. And that's exactly what Josh was telling these people. You cannot serve the Lord if you're not going to take heed to what He says. You cannot serve the Lord if you're not going to glue yourself to Him to the point that you can't pry yourself away from Him. What about you tonight? If you're in the audience, you've never responded to heaven's invitation, why not think about being just a simple New Testament Christian and just obey the Lord in that plain, simple terms. Go down into that watery grave, come up a new creature, worship Jehovah God the way He specifies and teaches us in the Word of God. Glue yourself to Him. Abhor that which is evil and attend and take heed to that which He teaches. If you're in the audience, you need to respond to heaven's invitation, or you just need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity to respond now? Wednesday night, we'll begin the introduction to the book of Judges. So be reading ahead. Thank you.